AM 930 WEOL.
Split Squad edition of Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bullbarch out here in Avon where the Crushers take on the Southern Illinois Miners at 7:05 tonight. And Matt Douglas is back in studio control. Busy show lined up. You've got us from now until 6:35 before it's time for Indians baseball. And it's time for us to head to the hotline to bring in the very first guest of today's show. He is our opener, even though we learned earlier today that openers kind of wreak havoc on the handicapping industry. Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio. Adam, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Andy, Matt, how you guys doing?
So far, so good, and we're glad that you're back with us. You sound happy and healthy after a safe and successful trip to Vegas about a week and a half ago, but you are here with us today to talk about a wide variety of different topics. I want to begin with the 151st running of the Belmont Stakes. Longest race of the Triple Crown. War of Will, an overwhelming favorite in this thing right now. So having said all that, are there some long shots out there that you take a look at on paper that you really like?
Yeah, there definitely are. I mean, when you look at War of Will, this is the only horse in this race that has won that has ran in the previous two legs of the Triple Crown. So three high-octane races in 5 or 6 weeks. Not a surprise that he's the favorite, having won the Preakness, and a lot of people say maybe he could have won the Kentucky Derby had he not been interfered with, but because of that, and because you've got Tacitus, who had a decent run at Churchill Downs but wasn't overly impressive, there are definitely some other options out here on the board. And you know, it's kind of funny because for Mark Cassie, I think that you know obviously he wants War of Will to win this thing, but Sir Winston, his other horse in the field, is a closer, has great speed, could wind up being a very dangerous horse here this weekend. And I also like Spinoff, who's going off at about 15-1. Todd Pletcher horse with Javier Castellano. Pletcher and Castellano have kind of teamed up before. They've been pretty successful. But Spinoff is a horse that has good speed figures. But if you remember the Kentucky Derby, it was a mess. It was muddy. It was rainy. All the horses were churning up mud. Then obviously you had the interference in the middle of the track. So Spinoff just never really took to that track, never really took to that environment. With a dry, sunny day here in New York on Saturday, I think that Spinoff is the type of speed horse that has a good shot to at least make the board. Maybe not win, but something that you'd want to factor into your exactas and trifectas.
What's interesting, too, here are those two things you just mentioned. I mean, the weather, number one, because, yes, I mean, that was ballyhooed about for the Kentucky Derby. It was muddy. It was nasty. But near picture-perfect conditions for this weekend. The length of this race, I think, is also a huge, huge part of it. You mentioned it was the longest of all the three races in the Triple Crown. How much does the length of the race really factor into this?
The length factors in a lot. You know, when you look at the Preakness, you're looking for a speed horse. You're looking for a horse that's going to get out there, set the pace, and then probably have enough to finish it off. And that's what War of Will was in that race. Here with a mile and a half, I mean, for the most part, for most of these horses, this will be the longest race that they run in their careers. So you're looking for a closer. You're looking for endurance. You're looking for more consistency than burst. So that's why it's kind of challenging, because you've got some new horses here that haven't been in any of the Triple Crown races yet. You've got some that were in the Kentucky Derby, which is the late race that's in the middle in terms of length for the Triple Crown, that you know were some closers. Master Fencer was a closer in the Kentucky Derby. Tacitus was a closer in the Kentucky Derby. But you sort of wonder, with that extra distance here in this one, you know, can they close all the way? And this is one of those races where I think it's very important to look for jockeys that have had success in the Belmont Stakes before, because they just seem to have a feel for when to hit that gas pedal. Because if you shoot your shot too early, you're not going to have enough to finish the race. So that's why it's very, very important from a jockey standpoint to handicap those guys here on Saturday.
Adam, I'm just curious. The Kentucky Derby, I mean, we've had two of the craziest races you've seen in the DQ and the Kentucky Derby. In the last race, a horse finishing the thing without its jockey. Has there been an increase in prop bets or an interest in those going into this one?
It doesn't really seem like it, but I will say this. You know, even though War of Will and Tacitus are the two clear favorites here, I mean, nobody else is lower than 8-1 on the morning line. I think somebody winds up around 6-1 or 5-1 by the time this race actually goes off. But there are a lot of horses in this race that I think people believe have a chance to win. So we could see some really intriguing wagering on Saturday with some people throwing some of these long shots in the mix, putting them in exactas and trifectas, because, again, there are questions about War of Will, who had a very, very easy trip in the Preakness. Down the rail, no other horses were there. It was basically a wire-to-wire job. What happens when he gets caught in traffic again, if he does? So this race, I think, of the Belmonts that we've seen here over the last few years, I think this has been the hardest one to handicap, and you wouldn't expect that with two overwhelmingly low prices on the board.
Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Given all that information we just went over, what's your pick for this weekend? Is there anybody that out there you really like? I mean, I think War of Will seems to be the pretty popular bet at this point. Are you going against the grain there, or do you like War of Will?
No, I mean, I think I'm going to throw some of these medium and longer shots into exactas and trifectas, sort of as multipliers, and see if they can get to the front of the pack and actually win this thing. Spinoff will be a win ticket for me. It's going to be a small one, though, because I do think one of War of Will or Tacitus does win this thing. They're both on the outside. They won't have to deal with traffic early. We'll see if they try to set the pace or if they kind of sit behind the pace setter. But because these two are more proven than the other horses that are in the race, I'll have War of Will and Tacitus to win. I'll have them in exactas. But some of the other ones, like a Sir Winston, like a Spinoff, Tax is another one who didn't run very well in the Derby that's coming back. Those will be on some of my exotic tickets.
Good stuff. Well, we will transition into some baseball talk now, my friend. I know that, you know, June has been a pretty interesting month, and tonight we've got some fascinating matchups. And I want to take a look at a game where you instruct us to take the over here. Petco Park in San Diego, not typically a place where you see a lot of runs scored, but tonight it will host the Padres and the Nationals. You like the over in this particular matchup. Why is that?
Yeah, I do like the over a little bit tonight. You got Eric Fetty going for Washington. You've got Nick Margavisius going for San Diego. For the Nationals here in this series, the first three starters they get all left-handed. They're top five in batting average, on-base percentage, slugging percentage, and weighted on-base average, WOBA, against left-handed pitchers. So they're in a pretty good spot here tonight against the pitch-to-contact guy in Margavisius. And really, it's the same thing for the Padres. Eric Fetty is a pitch-to-contact guy. One of the biggest problems for the Padres this year, they've struck out almost 27% of the time. Fetty's not a strikeout guy. He's a pitch-to-contact guy. Gives them a chance to actually put some balls in play. He's given up 14 homers in just under 80 innings in his big league career. The Padres do have some power. So I think both of these lineups get some traffic on the bases tonight, and hopefully they cash in their opportunities.
And, of course, right down the road from here this evening, it's the Tribe and the Yankees beginning a three-game series down at Progressive Field. It's a nice night, and as the weather heats up, ball has a tendency to fly out of Progressive Field. However, you like the under in this Tribe-Yankees game tonight. Why is that?
It is scary, as you mentioned. I mean, as it warms up a little bit in Cleveland, that ballpark plays a lot different. We talked about how it plays in April on one of our previous segments when it's very cold. You barrel up a ball, it goes nowhere. Can be a launching pad here a little bit to some degree in the summertime, but the Yankees have a bunch of right-handed hitters. So that porch in right field where the ball generally tends to carry a little better, not as much of a factor for them here tonight. Also, I think Zach Plesac is a guy that it's going to take the league a little bit of time to adjust to him. He's almost a Shane Bieber light, doesn't have the refinement to his breaking balls yet, but very, very good fastball command, good changeup to keep guys off pace. I think he'll be good enough tonight to keep that Yankees lineup at bay. But I also don't think the Indians do a whole lot tonight. Domingo Germán only throws his fastball about 45% of the time. We've watched the Indians time and time again struggle with curveballs, struggle with changeups especially. Germán throws those two pitches about 55% of the time. So I don't see the Indians making a whole lot of solid contact tonight against him. Both bullpens performing pretty well. I think we should be in for a low-scoring affair tonight down at the Jake or Progressive Field, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, absolutely, and the Indian bullpen should be at least a little bit rested after Trevor Bauer gave them quite a bit of relief yesterday, going eight innings of last night's contest, so going to be fascinating to see how all that works out downtown tonight. All right, Adam, before we let you go, my friend, I want to give you an opportunity here to promote how you guys are approaching the NFL season. You guys have a bunch of previews already up on bangthebook.com, so give us an idea as to what you guys are putting together. I know you're responsible for what, the AFC North and the AFC East?
Yeah, I put up season win total previews for the AFC East and the AFC North here earlier on in the week. We have lines out for weeks 1 through 16 already. CG Technology out in Las Vegas posted lines for weeks 2 to 16. So we can get an idea of what they're looking at for the teams here and sort of extrapolate that out to their implied winning percentage, then put together what their expected win total is based on the spread. So we're doing that with all 32 teams right now. I did the AFC East and the AFC North here so far. So, yes, my Browns preview is up over at bangthebook.com. May not be the projection that people want for them, but very, very tough schedule early on for the Browns. But our cast of writers is going to be putting these together, and then once we get deeper into June and on into July, we'll be writing all of our college football season win total previews as well. So it'll be a nice baseline for those that are, you know, not even just interested in betting football, but also interested in getting prepared for the season, having an idea of, you know, who this year's top players are in college football, all those types of things. So our writers do a great job, and I'm very excited that we're starting to talk some football over there.
Hey, Adam, before you go, I got to ask you, St. Louis, the winner last night, they're up 3-2 over the Boston Bruins in the Stanley Cup Finals. What's Vegas think of St. Louis's chances of closing things out at home on Sunday?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, if they need a Game 7, there's 2 days off before that one, too. So both teams getting a chance to get rested. Obviously, we'll see how much that, you know, impacts Zdeno Chara and the broken jaw that he's got. But, you know, it's a tough spot for me in Game 6 because I think St. Louis has been the better team for a good portion of this series. Jordan Binnington was excellent in Game 5. Can the young kid win a closeout game? I don't know. You know, we know what Tuukka Rask is capable of as a veteran. Can Binnington shut the door? Can he, you know, get his team to the Stanley Cup here in Game 6? I lean St. Louis a little bit because they're at home, because there are some advantages to being at home in the playoffs with line matchups and obviously the crowd factor as well, but should be an instant classic, I think, on Sunday because, you know, obviously there's no turning back for Boston, and for St. Louis, you don't want to make that return trip for a Game 7.
As far as this goes in the sports world, in January there were books that had the St. Louis Blues at 250-1 or 300-1. I mean, where's that rank as far as upsets go in the sports world?
It's up there. It's definitely up there. I mean, it's amazing. This was a last place team, you know, when Craig Berube took them over, and, you know, they've made some goaltending decisions. They had Jake Allen in there. Then they go with Jordan Binnington now, and, you know, they made some smart moves at the trade deadline as well. It's definitely up there. I mean, the name escapes me right now, but that soccer team that went on a big run, you know, with a couple of years ago, I think in the Premier League, you know, that was one that was celebrated by a lot of people. And, you know, that's not really a major sport here in the U.S. So as far as major sports go, when you look at Major League Baseball, there's what, maybe 6 or 7 teams that can win it all. You look at the NFL, there's maybe 5. You look at the NBA, there's 2. You know, in the NHL, I mean, it was pretty wide open. And for St. Louis to make a push like this, it's definitely going to go down in history if they're able to finish it off.
For sure.
Adam, great, great stuff as always, my friend. We always appreciate the time. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll do this again next week.
Absolutely, gentlemen. Take care.
Thanks, Adam. Again, Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio. Hey, look, we tell you every week, but we tell you for a reason. I mean, they've got great stuff happening over at BangTheBook.com, and as Adam mentioned, you know, not just if you're looking to lay some money on some games, even if you want to go just for information, that website is loaded to the gills with all kinds of great information, and they cover every single sport that you could imagine over there. So make sure you check them out at BangTheBook.com. That's BangTheBook.com. Time for a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We've got Your Money Now. We've got Matt Douglas with the local news. And then we're giving away Tribe tickets in the 4 o'clock hour. We're talking with Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network at 410. Bullseye on the Afternoon rolls along here on AM 930 WEOL.
Let's be real.